So we've been studying James over the past 6 weeks. So one of the biggest things we've learned in this letter of James is wisdom. Wisdom is very important. It takes part in, it has a role in all of the areas and lessons that we've learned. But each of the lessons we've learned have had some form of conflict in them. So it kind of makes sense that today's lesson is about conflict. Now, conflict is a part of life. It's not bad. Not unless we leave it alone to fester. If we don't address conflict, it can be very bad. We'll see hurt feelings. You see anger, greed, resentment, violence, and war. Now, conflict is defined as a clash between individuals arising out of a difference in thought processes, attitudes, understandings, interests, requirements, and perceptions. We see conflict many times throughout our day. We have inner conflict as we're going to the grocery store and we think, should I turn left or should I go right? Should I go to Zehrs? Should I go to Food Basics? I don't know. That's inner conflict. Sometimes we have conflict with a friend. Where are we going out to eat? Well, I want Chinese. Oh, I really just want a burger. Right? It's conflict. Maybe we have conflict with our children about getting up in the morning or doing our chores. I'm getting looks from the back. But conflict is good, because without conflict, we might not try new things or hear new ideas. Conflict can't be avoided. In fact, we seek it out for our entertainment. We look for movies and novels and stories that have conflict in it. The very thing that we seek out to entertain us, though, can also break our relationships, our communities, and our countries. Now, the difference is that in novels, the conflict always resolves. So, just to give you a point of reference, is the five components of writing a novel, which Ruth will know, is the plot, the setting, the point of view, and conflict. They're in that order for a reason, because each of the components contributes to the conflict. So the plot is the story, the purpose, the lesson. It's what's happening, what's going on. The setting, it sets the mood. So it's either that lovely sunset where we met for the first time, or it's that dark and stormy night. Then you have the characters, and the characters all have their own values and belief systems that they were raised with through their families, their religion, their society, their communities, their life experiences, just like you and I. Doesn't matter whether the character's a dog, a cat, or a person, real or fictional. They all have a backstory, just like us. And then you have your point of view. Whose point of view are you writing the book from? Because the story is going to be different from every point of view. So I've got some pictures up there, Phil. If you want to hit the first one, it's a picture of a bridge. I took this for an assignment once. It's just a boring old dirt road. But when I used the point of view of the bridge to frame it, it became almost like a passage to another land. That's my perception of it. The next picture I took from the point of view of being very low. This is my Jordan, if any of you remember. She was about 7 at the time, but she looks like a giant. So by using that point of view of looking straight up, she looks huge. So you can imagine that's probably what a toddler sees when they're looking at someone. We all know that 7-year-olds are not that big. So the images can offer conflict in our minds and based on perception. So I want to look at the very first conflict in the Bible, because the Bible is full of conflict. We wouldn't be buying it if it didn't. So the very first conflict we see in the Bible is the serpent and Eve. They have a conversation about the tree in the center of the Garden of Eden. Eve says plainly that humans are welcome to eat from any tree in the garden except for that one. That one will kill you just by a touch. And the serpent says, oh no. He says, eating that tree from that tree will actually make you like God. You will have knowledge of good and evil. So Eve ate the apple, we know the story, and then gave it to Adam, and all of a sudden they are aware of their nakedness and they hide. So God comes to the garden and says, Adam, where are you? And he's like, oh, I'm hiding in the bush. I'm naked. I didn't want to come out. I was afraid. So God said, well, who told you you were naked? And Adam immediately said, that woman you gave me, she gave me an apple, and I ate the apple, and now I know I'm naked. So God says, Eve, what did you do? Did you eat from the tree? And she goes, oh, that serpent, he tempted me, and he gave me this apple, and he said it was okay, and I would have knowledge. And there she goes. So God got angry, and he cursed them all. That was the resolution of that conflict in that story. Now, this and any story would be lost without that conflict. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time. But would it be without conflict? Can you imagine picking up the book and reading, Adam and Eve do not eat from the tree. They have children who listen. They populate the earth, and everyone lives happily ever after. It would be a very short Bible. That's right. So, we're going to remember that James talks a lot about wisdom and being humbly wise. He says knowledge is not wisdom. Adam and Eve learned that the hard way. So, how can we face conflict with wisdom and humility? How can these stories be changed? Communication. So we'll look at Adam and Eve again. Why did God react the way he did? Nobody took accountability. No one was accountable. No one was responsible. Adam immediately said, "That woman you gave me." So he's blaming God and Eve for eating the apple. Right? Eve, same thing. It was a serpent. It wasn't me. Why are we so afraid of conflict? Why do we react the way we do? So we have an instinct. All animals, mammals, people, we have this instinct that when we're faced with danger or conflict that we fight or flight. So we either run away or we put up our dukes and fight. Adam ran and hid in the bush. It was out of shame, but it was also out of fear of God. Now when conflict rises among friends, we often have the instinct of just cutting our losses and running. If you're having a difficult conversation with someone about politics or religion, remember those things that you weren't supposed to say and bring up at the dinner table. Oftentimes we stand back and we say, I don't necessarily agree, but I'm just going to let you talk because I don't really want to engage in conflict. As God's people, though, we are called to face conflict with love. To do so is to glorify God and be more like Jesus. We're called to reconcile and maintain or strive for peace. And we're to forgive others as God has forgiven us through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. James says the quarrels we face are due to selfishness. We ask something for the wrong reasons or do it for our own gain. Our perspective on a topic is driven by our own values and beliefs. Now, I said earlier that conflict needs to be addressed. When we give in to our fight or flight reactions, we don't address conflict. So we don't resolve it. We won't ever see that resolution. We just react. By not addressing it, it festers. Now, we certainly don't have time during the service to go into full conflict resolution. And I'll let you know, a lot of this I got from a 6-week Bible study I found that I would love to run sometime if anyone's interested. And it's all about how to resolve conflict in the name of God. Now, by avoiding conflict, what we're missing out on is a whole new perspective. Just like in those pictures, right? We maybe don't see a 7-year-old child as being a giant because we're above them. So maybe it's time that we do look at a new perspective. So perspective is very much like a point of view. And I'd like to show you a picture I took last summer of two swans. Aren't they beautiful? They were floating in the lake and I was out in my kayak and I'm like, oh, there's two swans together. You never see that. Never. So I'm paddling really, really carefully and I'm being as quiet as I can. I'm sure I saw them move. I'm like, shh. So I take this picture and I'm getting closer and I'm taking the picture and I see a couple sitting there watching me with fascination, it looked like. The more close I got to the swans, the more excited I got because I was like, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get a really good picture of these swans. This is amazing. And I looked up at the people and they had smiles on their face. And then I looked back and I realized, these swans are not moving. you can't really see it in the picture, but they were decoys. So I paddled really fast out of the area because these people were watching me. But it took me a long time to change my perception. I had convinced myself that these were real swans, and I had to get that picture. I needed to get the picture of these living swans. And even once I realized they were plastic, I went, "What? But are they? Really? Are they?" Like, I had to alter my perception. Needless to say, it's been quite a running joke. We actually saw a swan at Shades Mill this year, and I said, "It's real." Look, Mickey, it's a real swan. When we find ourselves in a state of conflict, what if we look at it from another point of view or a different perspective? We cast aside our own view and see it from another angle. So Matthew 7, verse 5 says, "First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." I had to come to terms with the fact that they were plastic swans in order to see them for what they were. I had to clear my thought. That's a very simple example, because we learn better when we laugh. We need to look at why the other perspective is not agreeing with us. That day I saw living swans. My brain had to take time to register that they were not alive. I had to get the log out of my eye and see the decoys for what they really were. So when facing a difficult or charged conversation that results in conflict, we also need to stop and listen. I know I appreciate when others listen to my point of view, but it's not easy. It's not easy to listen to something that you maybe don't agree with. When deep in your heart, you feel that your way is the right way. But when the log is out of our eye, we can clearly see the other side of the problem. We can look at it with wisdom. And remember, wisdom is not knowledge. It doesn't mean we know a lot of things. Wisdom is knowing when to listen with God's heart. James has been teaching us all along that wisdom and humility are the key. We should live wisely, we should live well, and we should live with humility. We also learned from James in the first chapter, verse 19, to be quick to listen, but slow to speak. Listen with wisdom and love. Listen with vulnerability. Now, listening with vulnerability means to set aside all your beliefs and listen to the whole story. Listen to the person who's talking to you right now. Listen to their ideas. Ask questions to find out why or to help you understand what their view is. You don't have to agree with it. But listening means the world to one person that you're speaking to. Then when you're done listening, and you're done asking questions, and you've gone as far as you can, James reminded us to pray with abandon. If you still don't understand, God, I don't understand. Help me. If you do understand, God, help me to accept this new idea. And then after you're done praying, remember to listen. Listen with that same abandon that you prayed with. Because you never know what you might learn. God goes against the willful proud, but God gives grace to the willing humble. If Adam and Eve had asked questions and listened wholly to God, they may have understood the reason for not eating that fruit. They might have had seen a different perspective of the conflict. And it might have been a completely different story.